This episode is brought to you by Diamonds and Splinters. Stop by Diamonds and Splinters where you can purchase $5 jewelry and primitive crafts. But we aren't just jewelry and primitive crafts, we also have candy, kids' items, phone accessories, and more. Come on into Dubois Mall and enjoy our December special. When you spend $10 or more, you will receive a free paparazzi ring or a free primitive candy cane ornament.
Well, it's that time of year again, where the warm weather starts to vanish and the cold comes creeping in. And with that, the warmth of the holidays begins to set the scenes around you. Colorful lights start to tastefully show up around the neighborhood. Cheerful music is being heard from near and far. Families are gathering and great food is being prepared. This is the most wonderful time of year. Well, what do you know? Now cozy on up, cross your fingers for snow, because we're serving up a cup of cheer.
What's going on, everyone? Robert Slavinsky here, the host of Shooting the Sith, a Star Wars podcast on the scpod.net spoilerverse. I was asked by Deej Penhollow to talk about Christmas and what my favorite gift was that I had ever received. Now, it was either the Christmas of 1995, possibly 1996, and Star Wars was all the rage. I was recently introduced to the epic saga, and I just couldn't get enough of it. Between all the action figures I'd received to this point, there was just this one thing. The jackpot of all the possible presents that I could ever want. Now, the crazy thing is, it's not like I was obsessing over getting this gift. Yeah, I wanted it, and even sat on Santa's lap and asked for it. But I was a realist. I knew Santa was a busy fellow, and my small request wasn't of any major concern to him. But as Christmas morning arrived, I ran downstairs to open my gifts. Now, my mother had this thing of telling me which gifts I could open first, like she had some knowledge of what Santa left me. But as I made my way through the gifts, there was one towards the back of the tree that was a bit larger than all the others. As I peeked and saw my name written on the tag, I began to care less and less about the smaller gifts, which were undoubtedly clothes and Hot Wheels. No, I focused on what the possibilities were for what that large present could be. When my mother gave me permission to finally grab and open that gift, I tore through that wrapping paper, and to my surprise, there it was. I hit the jackpot. Finally, my Han Solo action figure would have the fastest hunk of junk in the galaxy to fly around my living room in. That's right, everyone. The Power of the Force electronic Millennium Falcon was my favorite gift I ever got on Christmas. What was yours? Thanks for listening. May the Force be with you, and have a Merry Christmas.
Season's greetings, everyone, and welcome to A Cup of Cheer, your favorite Christmas podcast. My name is Lane.
My name is Tammy.
And I'm Deej. So, on the last episode, we talked about a continental Christmas and how Christmas is celebrated around the world. And then we read a book about cookies around the world and how different kids leave out different treats for Santa Claus. It was really interesting.
And we talked about a recipe of the wedding cookies.
Yes, Mexican or Italian wedding cookies.
Today we are going to talk about the history of Christmas. We have 44 fun facts to share with you.
First, we're going to discuss the movie The Santa Claus. So buckle up. Keep your hand and feet inside the sleigh at all times and enjoy the ride.
So today we're going to be talking about the movie The Santa Claus, starring Tim Allen and Judge Reinhold and a bunch of other stars that I don't remember all of them, but I know those who are in it, and it's one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time.
I believe it's a lot of, I think even your mom said that's her favorite Christmas movie when she was over here.
Oh yeah, she finds it absolutely hilarious. And actually, Tammy, she laughs at all the same parts that you laughed at. Last night, yeah.
Well, you watched the Santa Claus last night?
We put it on last night when we were decorating the house.
Oh, I should have watched it.
I mean, I didn't have any intention of talking about it right yet, but it totally worked, so we had it on.
It was made in 1994. It's an American Christmas fantasy film comedy written by Leo Benvenuti and Steve Rudnick, and directed by John Paskin. The first film in a Santa Claus film series, which there is three, I believe, or did they ever make?
There's three.
They never made a fourth? Okay, good. It stars Tim Allen as Scott Calvin, S.C. Santa Claus.
Hey,
I think not. An ordinary man who accidentally caused Santa Claus to fall from his roof on Christmas Eve. When he and his young son, Charlie, finish St. Nick's trips and deliveries, they go to the North Pole where Scott learns that he must become the new Santa and convince those he loves that he is indeed Santa Claus. This is a funny movie. Like, he scares him off the roof, and he doesn't believe it at first. He's like, that's not... He's, like, so apprehensive to believe it. Because he's not... He kind of reminded me of the dad in the guy in the movie we just watched, where he was too preoccupied with him and work and stuff. Like, he wasn't, like, a bad dad, but he wasn't the greatest dad either. Like, but then he became Santa Claus, and it, like... I mean, that was like the epitome of the lioness moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is the meaning. I am now Santa.
Like, yeah, that totally warms him to the... That's so funny. The movie is brilliant. It's got a lot of quirks.
I was 4 years old when this movie came out.
Yeah. And it's like... it's got a lot of quirks, and it's got a lot of really great lines. And I don't know. Like, right at the beginning of the movie, one of my favorite lines is whenever... They're standing on the roof with Santa's sleigh, and all the reindeer are there. And Charlie's like, "So what is this?" And he goes, "This is a gift. We're getting the Disney Channel now. Merry Christmas!" Like for no reason at all. Like he thinks it's a gift from. He goes, "This is a gift from the cable company."
Interesting. Like all the antlers are like antenna.
It's
or something.
So funny. Like it's such a weird moment.
It did $189.8 million in the box office in 1994.
Wow, that's astounding.
Just shy of $200 million.
I wonder what its worldwide was.
Box office. I mean, I think that's what it is.
It would be its worldwide.
But still, like for a 1994 Christmas movie, like $22 million budget, like the pure profit.
Yeah. No wonder they made two sequels.
Yeah. They could afford it.
Now, the sequels are unbelievably different.
I don't mind this. The second one was okay. I think the third one got weird.
But it's so different. Tone is completely different.
Because he's already Santa.
I know.
This movie's him becoming Santa. That movie is him as Santa. Like,
well,
it's going to be different.
You have to... The first movie takes like a... quite the turn in the middle of the movie. That it becomes like a cop movie. You know what I mean? Like, they're searching for him and all, you know, it gets real serious. You know what I mean? Like, there's like a whole like custody battle and like, you know, not a trial, but there's like a judge and like a bunch of, you know, talk about who gets Charlie and blah, 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 blah. Right. It's real like political. And then the second movie is just like, hey, Dad Santa Claus, now we're all magic now and everything's good to go. You know, there's no talk of any of that stuff. Funny story, Molly Shannon actually is in that movie too. And she plays crazy. They go on a date, her and Tim Allen.
Oh, yeah, in the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning of Santa Claus 2. And then she sings the Shania Twain, I Feel Like Some Christmas song that she does. It's very interesting. And she's wearing a shirt with Tim Allen Santa Claus on it. It's funny.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird.
I love the take they did on like the North Pole in this movie, where it was more like high tech and stuff like... You know, the way the sleigh, it wasn't just like a wooden cabin and with like a little elves. It was like it was awesome.
Yeah,
like,
it was
cool.
Crazy.
Like it was very interesting.
All right. You?
I loved it. I mean, it had a great meaning about Christmas, you know, like giving and families just getting along during the holiday. It really is heartfelt and it had a lot of humor to it. I thought it was a really well-rounded Christmas movie.
And what's funny too, he is a toy salesman originally.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's interesting.
You know, SC toy salesman. It's like he's meant to be.
Absolutely.
So the parts that I caught you laughing at last night were the parts that more toward the end of the movie when the Neil psychiatrist character is standing there and he's like totally mind blown that.
And I love Bernard.
I know, yeah, that's
the head elf.
So there's like a scene where Bernard just shows up and Neil's staring at him. He goes, "Look, Laura, look, he's pulling us. He's in right into his delusions."
He's the one that gives him the globe, right? He gives the kid the globe.
Yeah, the snow globe. It's really funny. Whenever he first meets Bernard,
right?
I love it. He can't get his name right.
The sleigh takes them there. like against his will, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, no, the reindeer do.
Really? Whatever.
You know, what can I say?
You're technically right, all right? So shut up. But yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of straightforward. Good movie. Watch it. I'm going to watch it again this year. I haven't watched it yet. I want to watch it.
Yeah. I don't think we watched it last year. We didn't. No, not. I need to watch the sequels. It's been a long time since I've seen the sequels. I really did like the second one, but the third one
The third one had Jack Frost in it, right?
It's goofy. It's the only reason I like it a lot is because they go back in time to the first one. But it's they get real goofy. Have you seen all three of them?
No, I don't think so.
They're definitely strange. Like they take a really weird turn. But yeah, it has Martin Short as Jack Frost, which is cool. So the second one is called The Mrs. Claus, where he has to get a wife.
Yeah.
And I like that movie. That definitely has...
Did they ever say what happened to the original Mrs. Claus?
No.
So Santa Claus falls off the roof and dies, pretty much, and then he becomes Santa Claus. What happens to that Mrs. Claus?
I mean, I don't know, but I'd love to
see...
She
died too?
It's like the president, you know? Once there's a new president, he doesn't get the same...
I know, but I still... I mean, like, Hillary Clinton's still alive. Like, where the heck is original Mrs. Claus? She just like, I'm out of here. But I don't have much more to say about the movie.
Yeah, just a wholesome Christmas fun.
Yeah, good for the whole family.
Yeah. Cool. So I believe we talked about how we're... Oh, yeah, we need to do... So I wanted to talk about some Christmas songs, specifically ones that were themed towards Santa Claus.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa Claus Lane.
Precisely.
That's me.
There's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, some of the best ones. What were you thinking? Do you have any in your head?
Put me on the spot.
Like, ones that are specifically themed toward
Santa?
Toward Santa himself.
Santa, I mean, baby.
Oh, there's your jam.
That's not...
Hey, that song showed up on a kid's Christmas playlist on Spotify, sung by Ariana Grande.
And of course it did.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. When I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus.
I saw Mommy kissing Santa
Claus. One of my favorite ones is Little Saint Nick by the Beach Boys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's an obscure call, but I really like that song. You know, a real famous cat all dressed up in red.
Real famous cat. In a snow-strewn sky.
Oh, yeah. Snow-strewn sky.
You guys will know what that means.
Can you think of any?
No.
You can't?
He took the main one.
What about Up on the Housetop?
Oh, yeah, that's a good
Old
one.
Old Saint Nick.
Yeah.
Click, click, click.
Click, click, click. There's so many of them.
My
what about...
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
He didn't pick the most famous one.
Here comes Santa Claus.
That's not the most famous one.
The most well-known.
What about the one where he's coming to town?
Santa Claus is coming to town.
That's right. So, yeah. I mean, they're all... I don't really... There isn't any that I hate. There's only like one Christmas song that I truly hate, and that's that one by Paul McCartney. What is it? I don't even remember what it's called. Do you know?
Oh. It just played.
Yeah, we didn't... We just... I don't really like it at all.
That's okay.
It shows how much you don't like it.
We shouldn't talk about songs we hate.
That's right. That's right.
Songs that...
So we're going to go ahead and just... We're going to do this a little bit loosey-goosey here. And we have, what Tammy said, 44 Christmas facts we're going to go over. So like we said, if you listen to episode 3, this one specifically, you might... I don't... How can we word this delicately?
Spoiler alerts for children.
Yes.
You may not want your children to hear it because we don't want to ruin the magic of Christmas for your little ones. So keep that in mind as we go through Christmas facts. Things that are true and definitely
facts.
Historical. Facts.
Right. So pour yourself a literal adult cup of cheer. Sit back and...
Maybe some rum and eggnog.
Rum and eggnog, perhaps. Some wine, maybe.
Or a mimosa?
Oh, that's for the morning time.
And maybe they'll listen to this in the morning.
Oh, yeah, that's true. true.
Or did maybe you just want a regular good old-fashioned cup of Joe?
That's right. Whatever kind of cup of cheer you want, whatever will make your day cheery, we're going to go through it, listen to these facts. Maybe this, I think this is a morning episode when this releases, so if you guys, your kids should be in school when it comes out. So just keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fact number one, Christmas wasn't always on December 25th. Though Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ, there is no mention of December 25th in the Bible. Most historians actually believe Jesus was born in the spring, not the winter, and his birthday itself didn't become the official holiday until the 3rd century. Some historians posit that the date was actually chosen between it coincided with the pagan festival of Saturnalia, which honored the agricultural god Saturn with celebrating and gift-giving. Sound familiar, doesn't it?
2. You can always thank Prince Albert to your Christmas tree. You might want to brew a cup of tea when decking your halls this year. The origin of Christmas trees goes all the way back to ancient Egyptians and Romans, who marked the winter solace with evergreens as a reminder that spring would return soon. But it wasn't until Prince Albert of Germany introduced the tree to his new wife, Queen Victoria of England, that the tradition really took off. A drawing of the couple in front of a Christmas tree appeared in the Illustrated London News way back in 1848, and as we say today, the idea went viral.
That's funny. Okay.
Things going viral in 1848 was not as good, like the Black Plague and stuff like that. Anyway.
Okay, Saint Nick was more generous than jolly. This is fact number 3. You probably already knew that the idea of Santa Claus came from Saint Nicholas, but the real saint wasn't a bearded man who wore a red suit and had a long white beard. That all came much later. According to legend, the 4th century Christian bishop gave away his abundant inheritance to help the needy and rescued women from servitude. As the tale made rounds, his name became Sinterklaas in Dutch. That later morphed into Santa Claus, and the rest of the trappings followed.
That's funny, because I did a, and just a real quick, in 6th grade I did a, because like my family's Dutch, as I've noticed, as I said before, and in 6th grade I had to do like a project for school. And
yeah.
Sinterklaas was, and milk in Dutch is milik.
Interesting.
M-I-L-I-K, milik. Interesting fact. Coca-Cola number 4. Coca-Cola played a huge part in Santa's image. Craving a Coke yet? Give it a second. According to Coca-Cola, Santa used to look a lot less jolly, even spooky. Go ahead, Google early images of Santa. We'll wait. It wasn't until the beverage company hired an illustrator named Haddon Sundblom in 1931 to create images of Santa for magazine advertisements that we got the warm and friendly Santa that we know today. Now kids wouldn't fear interrupting Santa's nightly work. Then compared to Dwight's Santa or whatever.
What was his name? We just watched that episode.
Yeah. When Dwight dressed up like that.
That was
Banyan, whatever it was.
It was like not even Santa.
It was, I can't remember what it was called.
It was freaking weird. All right. Here we
go. 5. Hanging stockings started with an accident. According to legend, we hang out stockings by the chimney with care, thanks to a poor man who didn't have the money for his treat. For his 3 daughters' dowries. Generous old Saint Nick, remember, that's his trademark. He dropped a bag of gold down the chimney one night, where the girls had hung their stockings to dry by the fire. That's where the gold ended up, and allegedly how the tradition began.
I was a little bit off when I told you guys that earlier, but...
It's okay, same, close enough.
Yeah. Alright, Jingle Bells was traditionally a Thanksgiving song.
Originally.
Yeah, originally. What did I say?
Traditionally.
Whatever. Turns out we didn't originally go dashing through the snow for just Christmas. James Lord Pierpont wrote a song called One Horse Open Sleigh and performed it at his church's Thanksgiving concert originally. Then in 1857, the song was republished under the title It Still Holds Today and eventually became one of the most popular Christmas songs. That's something.
Interesting. Number 7. Astronauts broadcast Jingle Bells from space. This prank almost went too far. 9 days before Christmas in 1965, the 2 astronauts aboard Gemini 6 suddenly sent an odd report to Mission Control that they saw an unidentified flying object about to enter Earth's atmosphere, traveling in the polar orbit from north to south. The interrupted tense report with the sound of jingle bells, with Wally Shearer playing a small harmonica and accompanied by Tom Stafford with a handful of sleigh bells they had smuggled aboard for that very occasion. That's funny.
That reminds me of the opening to the Santa Claus 2, actually.
Really?
Yeah, which is, this is, that's cool because it correlates. So when the, there's planes flying over the North Pole, and when they do that, the whole movie enters with like elves, and they're all up in the in Santa's at the top of this like submarine type deal. They have to go to like ElfCon 5 because there's a plane flying over, and they can hear like with the radar what's going on. So they have to silence the entire North Pole, keep everybody quiet,
yeah.
And then like the one guy, they pick up something, and the one guy's sitting on the plane. He's like, "I hear something," and he's like, "What is it?" And he goes, and it's just like, it's the one little guy, elf, and he's playing like Santa Claus is Coming to Town or something on like a little tape player or something like that. I can't remember what it is, but
that's funny.
It was, it's,
that's,
it's,
I mean, I wonder if they did that on purpose to, because of this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
interesting.
Cool.
Number 8, celebrating Christmas used to be illegal. By the time the Puritans settled Boston, celebrating Christmas was outlawed. Talk about missing the Christmas spirit. From 1659 to 1681, anyone who was caught making merry would face a fine for celebrating the once pagan day. And after the Revolutionary War, the new Congress found the day so unimportant that they even held the first session on December 25th in 1789. Christmas wasn't proclaimed a federal holiday for nearly another century, proving that the Grinch's notorious hatred of the holiday was alive and well long before he was.
Hmm. Yeah. Makes sense, though, because having it coming from the pagan belief in like all the Catholic churches and stuff back in the day, they would have not been okay. You know what I mean? So I can understand why in that time that happened.
Right. Oh. The settlers created the first American batch of eggnog. The Jamestown settlers created the first American batch of eggnog. Although it may not have tasted quite the same way the egg-centric concoction does today, the word nog comes from the word grog. That is any drink made with rum. So technically, an early nog didn't require the rich milky base we now recognize on the grocery store shelves and ladle out of grandma's cut crystal punch bowl. So that's cool.
See, I'm all about my eggnog, but I don't need to have rum in it. I just like eggnog as it is. But all right, number 10, Christmas decorating sends nearly 15,000 people to the ER. If you've ever watched Clark Griswold try to decorate his house in Christmas Vacation or any number of other holiday movie mishaps, that probably doesn't come as much as a surprise. In fact, the Consumer Product Safety Commission estimates that 14,700 people visit hospital ERs each November and December from holiday-related decorating accidents. So please, be careful when you're decking the halls.
Number 11. Santa has his own zip code in Canada. Every year, letters to Santa Claus flood post offices across the world, and every year, parents have to find a way to either answer them or explain to the kiddos why their letters got, lost in the mail. Further cementing their reputation as one of the nicest countries going, some big-hearted Canadian post office workers even started answering them. As more letters arrived, they set up a special zip code for Santa as part of a Santa letter writing program. Literacy initiative. The zip code? Ho, ho, ho.
Really?
Actually, I think it's pronounced H-O-H-O-H-O. Like a like a regular zip code would be.
Right.
Yeah, but zip codes are numbers.
I know.
That's just weird. And they're usually 5, not 6. I don't know. Maybe different countries, different things. I don't know. Whatever. Number 12. Dry Christmas...
It's okay. It's all right.
Dry Christmas trees spark more than joy. For the love of Christmas, don't forget to water your live tree. Dried Christmas trees spark about 100 fires each year, cause an average of 10 deaths and result in $15.7 million in property damage. The Consumer Product Safety Commission reports not only will an errant spark ruin your holiday, it could put both you and firefighters who respond to the blaze in danger. Are you convinced to switch to an artificial Christmas tree yet?
So not only am I pretty highly allergic to pine directly, that's the second reason why I don't want a real tree, because of the lack of time or remembering to water them.
We've had real trees my whole life. Never once have we had a fire.
Oh, I always freak out about it. You know what I mean? Them drying.
I mean, yeah.
Drying up or whatever. And that's just because of the Christmas Vacation movie.
Yeah.
I love whenever he lights that cigar and it goes up in flames.
That happens in a bunch of, like, Jingle All the Way. Doesn't a tree catch a fire in...
Not that I know.
He doesn't catch it in his neighbor's house? Or is that... Oh, no, he just throws... Oh, he catches, like, the nativity thing on fire. And then, what other movie... The Christmas with the Cranks or something like that. Like, their whole freaking house catches on fire or something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
I can't remember.
Number 13, we ship a crazy amount of packages around the holidays. Between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day last year, the U.S. Postal Service delivered an estimated 850 million packages, in addition to 15 billion pieces of mail. That's including gifts for faraway loved ones, heartfelt cards, letters to Santa, and those dreaded credit card statements after we gleefully charge all of our holiday purchases. Oops. So cut your mail carrier some slack. They're really pulling double duty this time of year.
So, number 14, the term Xmas dates back to the 1500s. Think Xmas is an edgy, relatively new way to abbreviate Christmas or a secular attempt to make or to take the Christ out of Christmas. Think again. According to From Adam's Apple to Xmas, an essential vocabulary guide for the politically correct, the word Christianity was spelled X-I-A-N-I-T-Y.
Zianity.
Zianity. As far back as 1100, X or Chi?
Chi.
Chi? Chi? Whatever it is. In Greek is the first letter of Christ and served as our symbolic stand-in in 1551. Okay. The holiday was called... Zetimus or something. X-T-E-M-M-A-S. But eventually shortened to Xmas. So really, Xmas is just a Christian, or just as Christian as the longer version.
It's funny because my grandpa's, my, like, his ex-wife, because he's passed away, but his ex-wife, she used to always complain to me because I would say, she would always, like, get mad if you wrote Happy Xmas or Merry Xmas. She hated it, so she was wrong.
There you go.
All right. Number 15. About 90% of Americans celebrate Christmas. It may feel like Christmas is everywhere from October or earlier, right on through New Year's, and that's because most Americans like to jingle bell rock their way right through the season. In addition, the Pew Research Center's findings found that fewer people think of Christmas as a religious holiday nowadays. Only 51% of those people who celebrate attend church on Christmas. They don't say how many of those people make their twice annual appearance.
Easter and Christmas.
Number 16. Where did hot cocoa come from? It started in Mexico. As early as 500 BC, the Mayans were drinking chocolate made from ground-up cocoa seeds mixed with water, cornmeal, and chili peppers, as well as other ingredients. A much different version from the hot chocolate we know today.
Yeah, like growing up in Southern California, I had a lot of Mexican hot chocolate. I mean, I don't think it was made like this, but it was more or less made with cinnamon sticks. I don't know what kind of chocolate they use, but it's never as dark. It's like, you know, when you make hot chocolates, like dark brown or whatever. Yeah. Theirs is always like a lighter brown. So I want to know what kind of chocolate they use.
Was it just milk chocolate?
I'm not sure. It has to do with the way they cook it too.
I've had cacao before, and it is actually a lighter chocolate. So I bet you maybe they use that.
Cool. Well, number 17, Americans spend nearly $1,000 on gifts. According to the National Retail Federation's findings in 2017, consumers say they'll spend $967.13 for the holidays on average, although individual spending can vary widely. In 2018, total retail sales in November and December hit $717.45 billion, a truly startling number. Homemade Christmas gifts, anyone?
Jeez.
I love homemade Christmas gifts.
Much better.
There's only 7 billion people in the world. And it does say, in just America, we spent that much, or in the world?
I think America, man.
$717 billion.
Yeah.
That's if every person in the planet spent $100. Every single person on the planet.
Wow.
That is nuts.
That is nuts. What kind of nuts? Chestnuts?
roasting on an open fire.
That's right. That's how crazy it is. All right.
Number 18, mistletoe was considered an aphrodisiac. The holiday flora is an ancient symbol of fertility and virility, and the druids believed it was an actual aphrodisiac. So keep that in mind next time someone jokes about meeting you under the mistletoe. The name itself even has a funny meaning. Mistle thrush birds eat the plant's berries, digest the seeds, and then the droppings eventually grow into new plants. So the Germanic word for mistletoe literally means dung on a twig. Romantic, huh?
Number 19, ham, not turkey, is the festive favorite. Some families cook up a turkey for Christmas dinner. Others go for ham, and still more go rogue on in a leg of lamb or another protein in the oven. For the most prevalent meat, just ask Google. Search for ham and turkey. Both spike during the month of December, according to Google Trends data. Although it's nowhere near how frequently turkey gets hunted online in November. Despite the popularity of both festive entrees, spiral-cut ham remains the more popular choice on a Christmas table. The jury's still out on whether people prefer ham or turkey sandwiches the day after, though.
See, I grew up, turkey's on Thanksgiving, ham is on Christmas.
Me too, yeah.
Because, they're both great the next day. I love leftover Thanksgiving, and I love leftover Christmas food. Because pretty much everything else is the same. It's always rolls and mashed potatoes and what have you.
And actually, also another thing, I grew up with, my Italian grandmother always had fish as well on Christmas.
That's something.
Interesting.
I'll tell you what, though. Ham does not have the same late-night snack factor that turkey does. Going in the fridge and grabbing some cold turkey.
I'd do that with ham plenty.
More power to you. I'm just saying for me personally, it doesn't have that kind of factor to it.
Well, that's not, we're not caring about that. We're talking about caring about Christmas dinner. Not Christmas, right. Not Christmas nighttime.
Well, his dinner keeps on going.
So. Yeah, I guess.
What does that mean?
Takes a long time to lick those fingers clean.
I guess. All right. Candy canes got their start in Germany. So if you listen to episode 1 of A Cup of Cheer, then you would have already known this little known fact about candy canes, or big known fact. I'm not really sure, but we did some talking about the history of Christmas candy. But I'm going to go ahead and read this. The National Confectioners Association says that a choir master originally gave the candies to young children so they'd stay quiet during long church services. Grandmas who still dole out sweets during the long sermons, you've got history on your side. But it wasn't until a German-Swedish immigrant decorated his tree with candy canes in 1847 that they became a popular Christmas candy. And today we'd hardly recognize the season without those little red and white stripes. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Why did this happen?
All right. Number 21, the Rockefeller Christmas tree started small. The first tree at Rockefeller Center probably looked more like Charlie Brown's than the resplendent one today. Construction workers at the center of its site first placed a small, undecorated tree there in 1931. 2 years later, another tree appeared in its place, this time with lights. These days, the giant Rockefeller Center tree is laden with over 25,000 Christmas lights and visited by millions of selfie takers each season.
That's breathtaking.
That would be actually really... Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Where's that at?
Rockefeller.
Where? New York City.
New York City? Yeah. Okay.
I would love to see
it. Oh, yes. Most definitely.
Number 22. Washington Irving created many Santa legends. You may know Washington Irving best for the legend of Sleepy Hollow and his headless horseman, but he wrote a lot about St. Nicholas, too. In fact, he was the first to imagine Santa Claus and his 8 tiny reindeer. He loved Santa so much that in 1835, he helped found the St. Nicholas Society of the City of New York, serving as its secretary until 1841.
Interesting. All right, so Norway donates the tree in Trafalgar Square. Londoners and visitors probably know the tall, iconic spruce that stretches to the sky in Trafalgar Square each year. But did you know where it comes from? Every year since 1947, the people of Norway have gifted the people of London a Christmas tree to place in the public courtyard. They donate the tree in gratitude for Britain's support for Norway during World War II. Now, that is what we call goodwill towards men.
I don't even know about that at all. All right, number 24. This Christmas gift held a life-saving secret. During World War II, the United States Playing Card Company joined forces with the American and British intelligence agencies to create a very special deck of cards. They gave out the cards as a Christmas gift to help Allied prisoners of war escape from German POW camps, prisoner of war. Individual cards peeled apart when moistened to reveal maps of escape routes. Sometimes truth really is stranger than fiction. That's interesting.
25. Your Christmas tree probably took a real trip. Unless you cut yourself, your fresh Christmas tree probably spent weeks out of the ground before it made it to your local retailer. And while you may have visions of hiking in the woods, 98% of American trees today are grown on farms, mostly in California, Oregon, Michigan, Washington, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina, the country's top Christmas tree producing states.
Oh, yeah, we've got a couple of tree farms in the area. Yeah. I know that always sell out every year.
Is there one in Falls Creek?
There's one in Falls Creek. There's one up on Oklahoma Salem. Yeah, it's good stuff. All right. More Christmas facts coming your way. Oh, yeah. All right, so the image of Santa Claus flying in a sleigh began in 1819 and was created by Washington Irving. We just learned that, so that's... that's cool. Some of these may be repetitive. I'm not sure. So we didn't go through them. But
number two, the Montgomery Ward department store created Rudolph the Reindeer as a marketing gimmick to encourage children to buy their Christmas coloring books.
Go ahead. Number three. Sorry.
The original Rudolph did not have a red nose. In that day and age, red noses were seen as an indicator of chronic alcoholism, and Montgomery Ward didn't want him to look like a drunkard. To complete the original picture, he almost named him Reginald or Rollo.
Reginald. Reginald the Reindeer. Reginald.
Reginald.
I don't know if I could. Reginald the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Or Rollo the Red. I don't know.
Rollo.
That would make me want chocolate caramels, I think.
Yeah, Rollos are delicious. But Reginald, I don't like it.
Yeah.
Reginald with your nose so bright. Okay. Clement Moore's poem introduced 8 more reindeer for Santa's sleigh, and their names were Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Dunder, and Blixum.
Donder, I think, is the original.
Dunder? Maybe it's Dunder and Blixum. For German words, thunder and lightning. These later evolved into Donner and Blitzen.
All right. Most of these names are male-sounding names. Male reindeers shed their antlers in winter. However, so the reindeer pulling Santa's sleigh are more than likely female or castrated.
Some leave food out for Santa Claus's reindeer, as North children did, leaving hay and treats for Odin's 8-legged horse, Sleipnir, hoping that they would stop by during the hunting adventures. Dutch children adopted this same tradition, leaving food in their wooden shoes for St. Nicholas's horse.
Dutch children also left out food and drink for St. Nicholas himself to honor him on his feast day. Today we'll leave out milk and cookies for Santa, continuing this very old tradition.
All right. America's first batch of eggnog was made in Jamestown Settlement in 1607. We talked about it. So.
Do you want to know a useful way to recycle your Christmas tree? Some zoos take donated Christmas trees and use them as food for the animals. That's interesting.
I mean, that's good.
Makes sense. Yeah. Unless you spray fake snow on it, then it's not a good idea to donate it for that purpose.
Okay, between the 16th and 19th centuries, global temperatures were significantly lower than normal in what was known as a Little Ice Age. Charles Dickens grew up during this period and experienced snow for his first 8 Christmases. This white Christmas experience influenced his writing and began a tradition of expectation for the holidays.
Since 1918, the city of Boston has received a giant Christmas tree as a gift. From the Canadian province of Nova Scotia, Boston lent considerable support to the city of Halifax during their 1917 explosion and subsequent fire disaster. That's a bunch of places giving gifts, trees as gifts. That's weird. I guess, maybe these places can't grow their own trees.
The Christmas tree in Trafalgar Square is donated to the people of London every year by the people of Oslo, Norway, in thanks to their assistance during the World War II.
I skipped that on purpose.
Oh, yeah, because we already did it.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. Some of these are the same. That's not a big problem. Okay. In 1914, during World War II or World War I, there was now a famous Christmas truce in the trenches.
Oh, I think I've heard of this.
Between the British and the Germans, they exchanged gifts across neutral no man's land, played football together, and decorated their shelters. You can read more about it in the book Silent Night, the story of World War I, A Christmas Truce by Stanley Weintraub.
See, it's funny to me. So, like, they gave gifts, they played football, and then the next day they just went back to murdering each other?
I guess.
Like, what the heck? Like, that's weird.
I don't know. Maybe that's the origin of Boxing Day.
All right. Number 14. In 2010, during the Christmas season, the Colombian government decorated jungle trees with lights. The trees lit up with the gorilla when the gorilla terrorists walked by, and banners appeared asking them to surrender their arms. The campaign convinced 331 gorillas to re-enter society, and also won an award for strategic marketing excellence. Interesting.
Bicycle, the U.S. playing card company, manufactured cords to give all the POWs, or prisoners of war, in Germany during World War II as Christmas presents. These cards, when soaked in water, revealed an escape route for POWs. The Nazis never knew.
Okay, so the Christmas wreath was originally hung as a symbol of Jesus. The holly represents his crown of thorns, and the red berries, the blood he shed.
Hmm. The three traditional colors of most Christmas decorations are red, green, and gold. Red symbolizes the blood of Christ, green symbolizes life and rebirth, and gold represents light, royalty, and wealth.
In Poland, spiders are considered to be symbols of prosperity and goodness at Christmas. In fact, spiders and spider webs are often used as Christmas tree decorations. According to legend, a spider wove baby Jesus a blanket to keep him warm. I don't think Marley would like that.
No, no, not at all. All right, so tinsel was invented in 1610 in Germany and was once made of real silver.
Not unlike the very weird, not silver tinsel we have now.
That's right. Yeah, I don't use tinsel. I don't like the way it looks on a tree.
I have it on my tree right now.
And you can never get rid of it. It's like glitter.
Like, you have tinsel garland, don't you?
Tinsel, like a rope, like a boa.
Yeah, yeah. They're talking about, like, actual, like, strand tinsel.
Yeah.
You hang on your tree. That's
all
stuff.
I've ever known tinsel is what I have.
Hmm. No, they have like...
No, my mom used to put... It was these little fine pieces of silver tinsel that you would put on your tree, and you could never get every strand of tinsel off your tree, and every time you cut your tree out the following year, you would find more of this silver tinsel.
Yeah, it's a mess. Crazy. Tinsel garland is definitely what you're using, and that's okay. Yeah, that's...
I mean, it's all, like, just, like, when you look up tinsel, it's mostly that stuff. And then you, like, there's that little bit of this. Even that stuff I have, like, the garland, like I put, we decorated my tree, and I looked at my couch, and yeah. I was like, where did this glitter come from? I was like, God.
It's yeah.
Glitter everywhere.
Christmas. Yeah. That's what it is. All right, well, that's, we just did a whole bunch of Christmas facts. And the, give me 1 second here.
So for our recipe today, and we did have a fun fact about hot cocoa and Christmas. So I'm going to share my most favorite hot cocoa recipe for the holiday. And that is the good old recipe that's on the Hershey's can, Hershey's hot cocoa. It's so rich and decadent. It's not something that you would find in the packet of instant hot chocolate that maybe you've had at the store.
Like, it's no Swiss. It's Hershey's.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, what you do is you can make it by the cup or you can make it by the panful. And I prefer on the stove by the panful. It works better because you put your cocoa and sugar and water together and you put that on the stove. You melt the sugar so it's all liquefied, and then you add your milk, and of course the fattier the milk, the more creamy it is, and then you finish it with a little vanilla extract, and it's so good. And I also make, you know, homemade whipped cream for on top. You can't beat it. So that is my hot cocoa recipe. It's easy to find. You can look up Hershey's hot cocoa, or like I said, a lot of times it's printed right on that Hershey's cocoa can.
It's also extremely easy to drink. I find it very delicious.
I want some of that. Now you said it with the homemade whipped cream. I want some.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
You make homemade whipped cream?
Yeah. I'll make some.
Have that?
And we've even put espresso in it. We did last year.
A little. If you want a little boost to your cocoa.
A jolt to your hot cocoa.
A little bit of hot cocoa!
Or we could added peppermint before. I mean, also Mexican hot cocoa. That's
my favorite.
Cinnamon and a little chili powder. It's pretty customizable to whatever flavor you like.
Love it. As long as it's hot. Otherwise, it's just chocolate milk.
That's true. That is very true.
Oh.
All right. Well, I think that is going to do it
for
episode 4.
Like always, don't forget to call our hotline at
814-299-5398.
For any recipes, traditions, memories, anything.
Anything
you want to tell us.
Anything.
Anything Christmassy you want to say. Just keep it friendly.
Right.
G-rated.
All right. Well, again, Merry Christmas. We'll be back.
Ho, ho, ho.
Thanks for listening to A Cup of Cheer podcast. We hope we gave you all the warm and fuzzy feelings that most things around this time of year should be giving you. Please come back next week and check out whatever episode we have in store for you. And Merry Christmas to you and your family.